Good evening. Guess all Larry has to announce in the bulletin is that I'm preaching this evening, and that kind of hurts our number. No, it's good to be with you this evening, and I know our number's down this evening, but we got some taking vacations and what have you, so appreciate the ones who are here. This evening's lesson will be coming out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to break down verses 1 through 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And the title of the lesson this evening is, Who's Directing Our Steps? Who's Directing Our Steps? In this lesson, we'll see that the Lord needs to be directing our steps. And also that we'll see that the Lord will protect us from Satan, from the evil one. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's look at verses 1 through 5. The Bible reads, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. And then in verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. You know, to break this down in verse 1, verses 1 through 2, you know, Paul, he asked for prayers for their efforts. He asked for prayers for their efforts. He asked that they pray that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and that the Lord be glorified. You know, in so many instances, it's easy to take credit for someone obeying the gospel, thinking we really done something. But the Lord is the one who needs to be glorified. He's the one that should get the credit. The Word of God is what has the impact on people, and not on things we say, and not on things that we say. All they need to know is the truth about salvation. That's what they need to hear. The only thing we can do is plant seeds. And that's what we hope we've done this week during Vacation Bible School, is that we've planted seeds. You know, we plant seeds and God gives the increase. God uses us in many ways to help the spreading of the gospel. We see also in this verse, we see the urgency of the gospel in this verse as well. You know, it says spread rapidly, which means quickly or quick utterance. You know, the apostles in verse 2, the apostle desired them to pray particularly that the true religion might be prospered and that in the preaching of the gospel, he might be delivered from the opposition of unreasonable and wicked men. We understand that there's a lot of wickedness in the world today. There's a lot of wickedness in the world today. The only way we can reach the world is by exemplifying Christ in our lives. That's how we change the world. It's not easy to stand up and do the right things. It's not easy. It's not easy to stand up and do what's right, but many times we may stand alone. You know, we sing the song, Stand Up for Jesus. You know, many times we will have to stand for Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible reads, No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is concerned to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. You know, there will always be a way of escape from temptation. There's always a way of escape from temptation. It's not wrong to be tempted. It's when we give in to that temptation. You know, in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, the Bible reads, Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. In verse 15, then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And it's talking about a spiritual death there. We need to be careful who we surround ourselves with and make sure the world does not influence us. The world is where the wickedness exists, and we need to win the world over. You know, it's sad in verse 2 there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. The world, like I said, the world is full of wickedness, but it's sad that not all will have faith. Not all will have faith. You know, we talked about the Great Commission this week here in, during Vacation Bible School. Not everyone will accept the Bible as authority or want to follow the Bible's instructions. We all can contribute to the gospel, but we can't be afraid of rejection. We can't be afraid of rejection. We need to keep in mind that there will be those who will listen. You know, patience is key. Patience is the key thing that we need. Patience with self, and also patience with those who do not know the gospel. Point number 2 this evening is coming out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. The Lord protects. The Lord protects. The Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We understand that the Lord, He is faithful. He keeps His promises. Jesus never lost His focus, even though there were many who doubted who He was and what He could do. We know that. Even though people heard and saw the things that He did, He was still rejected. But not much has changed today. You know, I wonder at times if we are getting further and further away from God each and every day. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. The Bible reads, "The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wickedness perishes." You know, it's great that we have hope in Christ, but we must remain faithful till we pass from this life. We need to be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks. We need to be ready for that. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible reads, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." And I believe the key words there is at the end, is with gentleness and reverence, not to be argumentative. You know, always need to be ready to give an answer of the hope that we have in Christ. We don't want to scare people off with what we know, but we need to let them know gently, not be argumentative. You know, there's a book that's out, and probably many of us have read this, Muscle and a Shovel. You know, it's by Michael Schenck. And, you know, I commend Randall for the way he handled the scriptures. Randall was never argumentative with Michael, and that's what the book is about. It's about Michael Schenck's life and how he became, how he was baptized into Christ. But Randall was never argumentative with Michael, and he just gave him the scriptures to back up what he was telling him to help convert Michael. And that was what happened, was by the end of the book. You know, it ended up converting him and his wife. You know, Randall showed patience, and he showed gentleness. You know, that's the example that we need to follow if we are trying to convert others to obeying the gospel. You know, God's never far away from us. He does not, or He does protect us from the evil one, but we must show great faith in God, like Noah. You know, Noah prepared the ark and didn't ask the question why. He just built it. You know, many times we want to ask questions, but we need to just do things. Abraham, you know, think of Abraham. He was willing to sacrifice his own son. You know, his obedience saved his son Isaac. These men were of great faith, and they trusted God, and He protected them. God protected them. In Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. "How blessed is he who considers the helpers the Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble." Verse 2. "The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth. and do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The only enemy we need to be concerned with is Satan. Satan is out to get us. We need to be ready for his schemes. We need to be ready for his schemes. And we know how crafty he is. He's very crafty. You know, if we look back in Genesis chapter 3, you know, we look back at Adam and Eve. You know, he deceived Eve and she ate from the tree that she was not supposed to eat from. But she gave to Adam also, and he ate. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 6, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." You know, sin is a delight to the eyes. It's a delight to the eyes, but we must be strong and not give in to temptations. In Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 6, "There will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain." You know, God is our shelter. He's our shelter in the time of storms. You know, we can lean on Him in our deepest, darkest hours. And it's wonderful that we can do that. We all have storms in our lives. God will see us through. He always sees us through. Point number three this evening is in coming out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4. We need confidence in the Lord. We need confidence in the Lord. Many times we doubt what God can do for us. And our faith, it can be hindered by not showing confidence in Him. You know, I think of Daniel. Daniel had, you know, he's a good example because he could have been eaten by lions. But he showed his trust and great confidence in the Lord that he was protected. Joshua is another character. He's another one that showed his great confidence in the Lord. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. If it disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, we sing the song, "What a Mighty God We Serve." And sometimes, and we sing that song sometimes. And you know, our God, He is mighty. You know, Joshua put his trust in God and knew what his household was going to do. He knew, he said, "For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, it's great that we can put all of our trust in God. That's the confidence that we can show Him. You know, Peter faltered in his confidence. Peter wasn't always confident. He faltered in his confidence many times, and sometimes we can be like that. You know, he knew Jesus and His power, but he had a hard time believing. In Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to read this, Matthew chapter 14, and let's look at verses 22 through 31. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 31. Kind of a lengthy reading, but has meaning. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And then verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took a hold of him and said to him, 'You have little faith. why did you doubt? So Peter faltered here, you know, and Jesus spoke to him, and he told him to take courage. It is I. He told him not to be afraid. You know, that had to be comforting, but also, you know, this to Peter had to be one of those moments that, you know, is this really happening? You know, am I seeing this? But Peter said in verse 28 there, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. He said, so we wanted more proof. He took his eyes off Jesus. And so many times we can do that as well. I believe all of us have done that at least at one point in time of our life. You know, it's easy to lose our focus, but we must keep our eyes and fix our eyes on Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which is so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we know here that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and keep our focus on him. Sometimes we forget about Jesus and what he's done for us. You know, he was willing to die for you. He was willing to die for me. He was willing to die for all people. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Point number 4 this evening, the Lord must direct our hearts. The Lord must direct our hearts. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. He must direct our hearts. You know, many of us have had an earthly father, but we also have a heavenly father. And I bought a card yesterday and for Father's Day, and it read, and the front of the card read like this: the love of a father for his children is more than provisions and protection, leadership and guidance. It's a part of who we are and what we become, and the way we serve the Lord with our lives. You know, it is a strong and binding cord that runs through the fabric of our character. A rock we can stand on for courage and support, and a foundation that lies securely beneath us. You know, this does fit the character of my father to a T, but I couldn't help but think about how it fits our Heavenly Father as well. You know, I try my best to follow in my father's footsteps, but because he tries to exemplify Christ the best he can, we need to allow God to direct our hearts. No matter what age we are, we need guidance from our Lord. We need that guidance. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. The Bible reads, "The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." We shouldn't walk ahead of God. We should follow him and not get behind. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 19 says, "Listen." The Bible reads, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way." You know, we as children still need to listen to our parents. No matter what age we are, we never can learn enough. We never can learn enough. We also must listen to our Heavenly Father. We must listen to him. He will direct us if we allow him to. We can't go through life alone. We have a lot of living and learning to do. We need to learn as much as we can so we can pass it on to the next generation. We can allow our hearts to lead us. We can't allow our hearts to lead us astray. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, the Bible reads, "The people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Verse 9, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of man." You know, that's why we need to look the scriptures up to make sure the things that are being said today are true. You know, we can't allow men to lead us astray. The Bereans search the scriptures daily, and we should study our Bibles daily. Our Heavenly Father loves us because of His Son's sacrifice for our sins. James chapter 1 and verse 26. James chapter 1 and verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. We don't want to be found worthless in our religion. We should want our religion to be meaningful. You know, our attitude plays a big role in everything that we do. God knows our hearts, and He knows if you want to be here, if you want to be a good servant, or He knows if we're just going through the motions. May we always follow God and let Him direct each and every step, every day. May we serve the Lord the way He deserves to be served. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God and haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you're struggling in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.